Hello there. Thank you for joining me with the podcast today. And we're going to again focus on the issue of the disability of individuals. Disability is the issue. You know, the other day I did a podcast. We're going to call that part one of the topic of disability. I spoke about how we, as non-disabled people, must be sensitive and caring and able to reach out and ready to reach out and to embrace and to help and to assist those people who are disabled. It's our responsibility. It's our civic duty. It's our social responsibility. It's our need in an area in our life where we can be empathetic, we can be compassionate, we can be caring for people who need some extra level of compassion and extra level of empathy and extra level of support. Well, anyway, today I'd like to do part two. And part two is this. There's a message for the disabled person. I got a lot of feedback on the podcast the other day about disability. And many people commented, well, what about the disabled people? Here's what my experience has been with them. And they listed a number of different kind of experiences that they've had. Some quite favorable and some quite unfavorable. So today I'm going to just focus a little bit on the disabled person and a message to the disabled person. So if you're disabled, you listen. If you know somebody who's disabled, have them listen to this podcast. If you have a disabled person in your family, listen to it and discuss it and share it with the disabled person. This is a message for the disabled person, you know, primarily. But you, the rest of you, can bring it to the attention of somebody who's disabled, because it may be helpful. We're going to try to kind of bring together some thinking, okay? First of all, every disabled person is not a victim. There's reasons to be disabled by birth or by incident or by accident or by some event that has happened in your life, and there's a purpose for those kind of things. So there's no victim. There's no thought about being a victim. So get that thought out of your mind. Now, you may be dependent. You may have certain limitations. And to that degree, you might need the assistance of other people and be dependent upon the assistance of other people. That might only be a small amount. It might only be a few little areas of your life where you need assistance. It might be lots of areas of your life where you need assistance. Maybe almost totally. You need assistance. Maybe. There are a few in that category. But we all need assistance to some degree. But the disabled person has certain limitations and needs that assistance. But he's not a victim. He's a person who can still do much for himself, can appreciate what people do, can appreciate how people help. And that's the key. Are you appreciative of what people do and how they go out of their way and how they extend themselves to be of assistance to you in your area of need, in your time of need as a disabled person? If you know that and if you think that way, make sure you express your gratitude, you express your thanks, you express your appreciation to people who give you a helping hand, however little or however large that might be, however infrequent or frequent that might be. People give other people help when needed, but they deserve a thank you. They deserve gratitude. They need to be recognized for going out of their way to be a person of assistance to you at your point of need. Okay? So that's number one. If you're a disabled person, you're not a victim. You may have limitations, and you may depend upon other people. And if that's the case, then those people deserve a huge thank you. A huge measure of gratitude every time they assist you in doing something. That's number one, okay? Now, I have a disabled person in my family. We deal with this disabled person daily. No, I'm not quite daily, most of the days, but certainly on the weekends. And there's a lot of ways in which we have to be of assistance, you know, to this particular person. But there's a lot of the things that he does for himself. So I'm going to use this him as an example of some of the things that he does to make it easy for me and for my family to interact with him and to be assistance to him. Because he makes it easy. Okay? In other words, if he needs help, he calls ahead, and then he calls later to confirm it. So he anticipates it. He looks ahead. He looks like a day or two ahead of time to make sure that we are going to be there at the appointed time to pick him up at a certain place at a certain time. He calls and then he confirms. So he takes the initiative. He reaches out, but not at the last minute. He reaches out a day or two ahead of time. And that's helpful, you know, to us, because then we can put that into our schedule and it just goes more smoothly. Okay? Okay, number two, here's what he does. He requests. He doesn't demand. Never does he make a demand. I never feel, we never as a family feel that we have to do something for him. It's a pleasure because he requests. He asks. He just makes his need known and asks if we can be available to him or to help him in that. And that makes it easier. Makes it a lot easier, you know, to do so. So he's not working at the last minute to try to get help. He calls ahead, but then he redoes it in the form of a request. Okay? Okay, next, what he does, he says thank yous. You know, we will do something for him. And he will thank me 5 times afterwards and indicate how good that was and how helpful that was and how much he appreciated and how much fun he had. But he thanks. He thanks. And he told me one time, he says, you know, my mother told me that when anybody does something for you, you thank them, no matter how big or how small it is. And he says, I always remembered that. So this is the kind of the way that he operates. And as a disabled person, this must be ready on your tongue at all times. The expression of thank you. To send it in a note form, maybe a couple days later. Or a telephone call a day later. Or certainly at the time to voice the thank you that you appreciate the help that has been extended, you know, to you. Okay, next, offer to pay. Offer to pay a little bit. Maybe in a disabled situation, you don't have a lot of money to pay for all the costs that might be incurred. But you can help. Sometimes you can offer $1. Sometimes you can offer $5. And every little bit, just it's a sign of recognition that you appreciate and that you want to do your fair share. So offer to pay. That's kind of a nice little thing, okay? Or here's what Irvin does in our family. He brings gifts. He brings treats. Whenever we have a family event or he's invited to something, he finds out if he can bring some soda or if he can bring a little gift of some kind. And he goes then to the dollar store and buys his soda and brings it. And it contributes to the ongoing of that particular event so that other people can share in it as well. So he's thoughtful. He gives gifts. He gives treats. He just brings little food. He brings those little small things that just make a difference. But it isn't the fact that he did it. It's the fact that he thought about it, and he thought about being helpful, and he thought about being considerate of other people who are considerate of him. And let's move on. He's always ready when we go to get him. He lives in a group home, so we have to drive up, we have to go get him. But you know, whatever time I set for him to be ready, he's ready. I don't have to wait. I don't have to wait for him to get dressed. I don't have to wait for him to eat. I don't have to wait for him to go and do something. He's at the door, he's ready to go. And often he's outside at the curb ready to be picked up. You see, that's being thoughtful. That's thinking ahead. That's trying to accommodate the people who are being helpful, you know, to you. So as a disabled person, think ahead. Be ready. That's consideration, you say. Be ready. Be at the door. Be out front. Make it easy. Make it easy for somebody to help you. Make it a fun event for somebody to help you. Make it an enjoyable event for someone to help you. But certainly be ready so that minimal delay is required of the person trying to be helpful to you. Okay? And here's another thing he does. Okay? When he gets in the car or when we get together, he always asks how we're doing. He always shows interest. He always asks how the kids are doing, how the parents are doing, or how somebody else is doing. He's always interested in making sure that we know he's interested in our life. He's not just self-centered so that he wants us to be interested in his life, but the other way around. He always shows interest in our life by asking us questions about how we're doing. That's appreciation, you see. That's showing thoughtfulness of other people. That's sharing your life with somebody else. That's being part of somebody else's life. That's bonding. That's integrating your life with someone else when you show interest in their life and not just wait for them to show interest in your life. See? So as a disabled person, the people who help you, the people who are around you, the people who share your life and share your space, show interest in them. Follow their patterns of life and their interests. And inquire and ask and talk and discuss things that they're interested in, not just the things that you're interested in. Okay? And one other thing about Irvin. He's not moody. In fact, his mood is quite positive. He's always happy. He's always expressive. He always talks, maybe sometimes too much. But he always shares his life, and he always does it in a happy mood and happy tone. In other words, it isn't sad to go see him or go get him or do something with him. It isn't depressing, you see. It's usually kind of an exciting or an exhilarating time because this is a change in his daily life extreme or system and daily life patterns. And so he's happy about that. And he shares that happiness, so his mood is always positive. So it makes it easy to be with him. It's hard to be with somebody who's depressed. Hard to be with somebody who's anxious. Hard to be somebody who's angry. Hard to be with somebody who is just self-centered. See, hard to be with somebody who just wants you to be serving them and be interested in their needs and their activities. See, as a disabled person, get involved, show interest in the life of the people around you and the people who help you. And you know, help will be more. Help will be more easily come, it'll be more frequent, it'll be more happily prepared and delivered. So it's a very important topic. So if you're a disabled person, yes, the importance is for you to do your fair share, for you to do your part, for you to go halfway, for you to go maybe a little bit even further, just to make it easy for people who are trying to be of help to you and trying to be part of your life and trying to make your life easier. You make their life easier. And then there's a bond, there's a match, you see. So if you're disabled, get out of this idea about you being a victim. Get out of this idea that everything is about you. Get out of this idea that things have to be done your way and in your time and in your schedule. No, you have to fit into the schedule of the people who are willing to extend themselves and be of help to you. Find out what that is and do your part, do your fair share. So that's a very important part of your daily life. And you make it easy for somebody to be helpful when it's part of their daily life, you know, as well. Anyway, this has been the podcast. Today has been on Disability Part 2. And this has been the part now for the disabled person to listen to. So share it with somebody who's disabled. Discuss it with somebody who's disabled. Help them alter some of their behavior patterns, to learn some of these behavior patterns that are necessary when they go through life being somewhat reliant upon other people, being somewhat dependent upon other people, needing somebody just to be of assistance to them because they have some limitations in their life experience and their ability to live their life on a day-to-day basis. So this would be very helpful to them and make everybody life a little bit easier. So anyway, this has been the podcast, and I again bring it to your attention. The Lehman Lock and Safe Company, L-E-H-M-A-N, Lehman, in Fresno, California. And he's available throughout the valley and be able to assist you if you have a key problem or a lock problem or need a safe. He's the man to call. I've called him over 50 years now on different occasions when I've had a need for a key or a lock change or whatever it might be. He's been there, and he's always pleasant, and he's always helpful, and his prices are moderate. So I would indicate to you, in the area of lock and key or safe, check out the Lehman Lock and Safe Company, L-E-H-M-A-N. Look it up in the phone book or look it up on the website. He's got a little website there, Lehman Lock and Safe, and make him part of your life when you have that kind of a problem. He'll be there for you, and you'll be glad you gave him a call. Anyway, nice to see you today and have you with me, and we'll do this again. Remember my website, booksbyhedberg.com. Pick up a book there, particularly for Father's Day, Lessons from My Father. I recommend. Okay, bye-bye.